The Jerry Doyle Show.
There's a lot of headlining out there with regard to the sign-up deadline, March 31st for Obamacare. Bank rate, one headline. One-third of uninsured won't sign up for Obamacare. And the stories continue. Typically, it's among the invincibles, the younger generation, the Utes. If you remember the movie My Cousin Vinny, Utes? What's a Ute? Well, we're talking in particular here about the millennials. We're talking with our guest, Anita Finley, author, actress, blogger, contributor, epictimes.com. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, which, by the way, spent 16 weeks, that's 4 months for those of you in public school, in the number one position on Amazon Women in Politics list. Her latest at epictimes.com about the millennials abandoning Obama, fickle youth, or something deeper. Anita, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jerry. How are you?
I'm great. It's springtime. I don't know. Do you like kind of, does the spring do something to you? I know they say it puts a spring in your step, but is it like one of those cool times of the year where it's like it transitions something, everything's growing, the flowers are popping, the bushes are starting to wake up?
It's fabulous. Well, our garden is kind of like torture garden. I've never seen anything grow faster. We have all these succulents out here, and literally we bought a plant that was 6 inches high. It's now 9 feet high. I don't know what Miracle-Gro we've got going on out here. But when it's springtime, you can smell the difference in the air. You can just tell. And so, yes, spring has sprung, and I'm delighted. I'm also delighted it's lighter longer. I can't stand when it gets dark early. That makes me crazy.
Why don't they just keep daylight savings time the way it is?
I don't get it. I don't know. One thing I'm finally going to say, I don't know. I bet you never thought you'd hear that from me.
Being a man, I know it's best not to disagree with a woman who hasn't made up her mind about something, because chances are it might change again.
Have I made up my mind? I'm not
making up my mind. You just did. You just said, I don't know. It's a perfect answer. I don't know. All right. Hey, your piece on the millennials abandoning Obama. Have the millennials, which, as you point out, the youth vote, 15 million strong, who helped Obama become president, have they gone from hope to hell no? And what's going on? Is it just the fickle nature of youth that likes something today and unlikes something tomorrow, like on Facebook? Or is there something much deeper going on here with the youth vote?
No, I think there is something much deeper. I think that we're selling the youth of today short by pretending that it's just about fickleness. I think Dana Milbank, the reason I wrote this was in response to Dana Milbank of the Washington Post, who, you know, has long, I won't say been an Obama cheerleader, but certainly he's tried to help the guy out, and is looking desperately for a reason why millennials are not signing up for the Affordable Care Act in the numbers that, you know, the government had hoped. And I think that it's too easy to say, oh, they're fickle, and it's just, well, they're on social media, they move in packs, and so on. I think that these are kids who have, and young people now, who have grown up, you know, having to take an x-ray at the airport, and who also have to look at not having a life that is successful as the one their parents had. They're paying off usury rates on student loan debt. They're having to move back in with their parents in record numbers. I mean, they were back at a historical high moving back in with their parents in 2012. So, you know, they're looking at a very different reality. And I remember what it was like to be that age, and every single dollar counts. And so when you are told that you need to make another expenditure, no matter whether you think this is a wise expenditure or not, in purchasing health care, particularly when you yourself likely feel pretty invincible. You remember what it was like when you're in your mid-20s. You think nothing can affect you, and certainly, you know, the penalty may be cheaper for a lot of these people at this point. I think they're kind of depressed with the hope and change that they were offered, and they're seeing that a lot of them are out of work. 13% of them were not working as of January. And the ones who are working, some of them are working part-time, which means they're not working to the level of their education. So I think that they're also a lot more politically independent. I will offer a caveat to that, however, Jerry. They're still socially liberal. So even though, let's say, the libertarian view may have an inroad with millennials today, absent a more progressive social policy, that may still be a line in the sand that a libertarian cannot overcome.
Right. Well, you know, back to the whole notion of invincibility, remembering back when I was in my 20s, I'm not sure I can, because that just seems like so many decades ago. But there is a certain Teflon mentality that you had, or at least I had back then, is that that's not going to affect me. That's not my, that's not where I have to swim. That's not a part of my wheelhouse. But it seems like the bad news today about the realities of the current economic situation with regard to the millennials is sticking to them in a way that is not what I've seen in the past. And I don't know whether it's just a whole lot of stuff coming together at the wrong time for the millennials, but there are a lot of speed bumps, a lot of spike strips that are being thrown in front of their road to progress. And maybe Obamacare is just symptomatic of a much bigger problem rather than it being problematic in and of itself.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, I just tried to do some anecdotal research on my own because I'd already gotten a lot of reaction on Facebook putting the piece out there today. And I had an opportunity to interview a young woman who's in her 20s. And the top, you know, these are the top issues: jobs and the economy, equal rights for women and LGBT, the demilitarization of our foreign policy. This doesn't sound like a flibberty gibbet to me. You know my favorite word.
Flibberty gibbet, yes.
Like somebody who's not aware of the world scenario. I mean, I remember when I was 20, my head was buried in the arts and leisure section. I didn't think of myself as a member of the global community. But, you know, when I was at that age, we didn't have the internet. So much information is being tweeted, is Facebook. It is all in your face all the time. Now, there's certainly people in that age group who are not aware, who may not be politically aware, but I don't think that is as much an opportunity today as it was years ago. You really have to go out of your way to keep your head in the sand today. And I think that they are more aware and they are seeing more of the burden that is being laid at their feet. I think they're, to some extent, may even wind up being more serious because they're looking at, well, is Social Security even going to be there for me?
Right. You know, I hear the millennials.
A lot of different concerns that I never had when I was 20.
Right. Well, I hear some of the millennials, you know, on these shows talking about, well, I don't expect Social Security to be around when I reach retirement age. And I'm like, don't say that. Don't give them an idea that
exactly.
20 million people
Bingo.
Don't expect Social Security. Because if they think that you don't expect it, then they think that they don't have to give it because
That's
they'll say,
right.
well, you didn't expect it. Why do you assume that you were going to get it? Don't give government the idea that Social Security might not be around.
No, and that's wrong because, you know, these government gonads have been, you know, opening up the airtight lockbox, hint, hint, and have been sucking money out of there that they had no right to do. And here's the other thing millennials grew up with. You know, in the post-9/11 environment, it's also the post-2008 collapse environment where they saw that people who were down on Wall Street committing all sorts of heinous acts via the Ponzi schemes that was running the stock market, where's the punishment? Where is their penalty? And here's another thing I forgot to mention. You know, the student loan rates that are so ridiculously high and putting people into indentured servitude, there's all sorts of debt forgiveness and there's all sorts of forgiveness for people down on Wall Street, and they see taxpayers bailing them out.
Right.
And, you know, it's not saying that you don't have to pay your student loans back, but these interest rates, really?
Right. Well, you know, you look at the
government. They're seeing a lot of unfairness. And so they, as strange as it may seem, are kind of maybe coalescing or meeting up with the baby boomers and looking at, I get why you guys are kind of pissed. Maybe they don't realize it's the same for the same reasons, but we have a lot in common.
But don't you think that a lot of people, whether they're millennials, X-Gens, or boomers, are all starting to feel more so in a collective fashion that the game is rigged in many ways to benefit the few at the expense of the many?
Yes, absolutely I do. I had the privilege of speaking at a college last year about dirty words on clean skin, and I was talking to this teenage guy. I was in shock. He could have been my brother. He was so funny. He was saying, well, you know, the media, they're all fixed and they're all biased and you can't trust, bless you. Isn't that wonderful?
Right,
I was
yeah.
so thrilled that he already got it. He saw that he was being manipulated in terms of selling copy and ratings and people trying to skew the way you think and tell you which way to vote. It was really fascinating to me. So, you know, we can't sell the young people today short because they are, well, it's corny to say they are our future, but it really is important. And it just made me realize writing this piece, because it's not something I typically write about, that I want to write more about it, and I want to investigate more and get to reach out to more, you know, people of that generation and say, you know, we do need to connect because we do have a lot in common. And I think you're right. The more that we get together and say, this is going to take a lot of grassroots activism, and it doesn't have to be us versus you. And
right.
it's not about party versus party either. We have to just say, this is about us down here realizing that the people who have those phony baloney jobs are going to have to do a lot more to earn them if they wish to keep them.
And you talk about jobs in your piece. By the way, we're talking with Anita Finley, author, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor. Her latest, Millennials Abandoning Obama, Fickle Youth, or Something Deeper. And you say this is less about president's failure to motivate than it is his refusal to focus on a logical order of business aimed at success for the country in the long run. Obama's singular focus should have been on the economy. And it doesn't matter whether you're a boomer, an ex-genner, or a millennial, or a male between the ages of 25 and 54, 10.5 million of them that don't have a job. We keep hearing the sales pitch from the president, from the administration, from Democrats, from Republicans, that our singular focus is about the economy and the jobs. Well, the more they say it and the less we see it happen, the more we realize we're being zoomed. And I think that's where there's this collective aha moment that people are starting to wake up to the fact that it is us versus them, meaning them in positions of power, than it should be red staters, blue staters, liberals, conservatives, you know, left, right, Republicans, Democrats. Like you say, lock arms. Take on the ban.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, in reference to what you were mentioning before about, you know, this is less about Obama's failure to engage millennials than it is about his leadership and focusing on the economy. You know, when he campaigned, he said that he was going to have a laser-like focus on jobs, jobs, jobs. And
right.
if you remember, you know, his first press conference, once he was inaugurated, he's saying, no, it's health care, it's education, it's everything else but jobs. And then every 6 months, we'd hear this pivot to jobs, jobs, jobs. If I hear that pivot word one more time,
right.
I thought I was
going
to pull my hair out. But
right.
that was something that never happened. And I think that that is the biggest thing that millennials have found themselves disappointed about. And the reason is, if Obama had done this, it's not that he couldn't have done health care, too, but if he had moved the needle forward, even a point, even 2 points, in terms of getting more people back to work, we would have grown our trust in him. There would have been a greater tendency on both parties to work together. I really think he rode a wave, don't forget, of tremendous personal popularity. And
yeah.
I don't think that Republicans could have gotten away with the same type of obstructionism or saying, I don't want any part of this, but ramming the ACA the way they did, you know, this is the result that you get. It's not a mystery.
Right. Well, they do have a laser focus on jobs, 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 theirs. That seems to be
yeah.
what their focus is on. And it doesn't seem to be on the rest of us. And that's why a lot of people are becoming very disillusioned with both of the two major political parties, as you did in leaving the Democrat Party and as I did leaving the Republican Party. And if we had to join a party, I'd say let's join the all-night party, because that seems to be the one that, well, we may not be getting anything done, but we're having some fun.
Well, yes, I loved the glasses you were wearing on your little Facebook avatar.
Did you like that for St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, made my day.
There you go. Absolutely. You know, one thing, and I got to wrap it up here, Anita, but you were talking about how, you know, in this day and age, you can't, or it's very difficult to keep your head in the sand. I was looking at this story about how Facebook transfers contagious emotions. And if someone is sad in Buffalo and sends it to you in Los Angeles, that there is this emotional transfer of negativity that happens on Facebook and in social media. And I would have to say, to the point of keeping your head in the sand, I think you have to make sure of who you keep in touch with, because there are a lot of people out there that will drag you down. You see it in Hollywood all the time. There's always somebody that's got an excuse to why they're not working as an actor, a writer, a director, a producer, whatever the case may be. And typically, you might want to take a look in the mirror, because that might be where it is. You have to surround yourself with people who are solution-based and are good outcome-oriented type of thinkers and have that that vibe about them, because you know that's a big part of what we associate with. And if we continue to associate just with everything's bad and it's going to get worse, I think there has to be that how Stella got her groove back kind of a moment for the country where, you know, yeah, it does suck right now for a lot of people in a lot of ways, but we're going to figure it out because that's what we do.
But you know something, millennials, given all of this information, are optimistic.
I know.
Think that they can move the needle forward, and I think we can too. But we have to do exactly what you just said, is associate positive with positive and build on that.
You got anything coming up on TV we can catch in?
TV, I'm in writer hell, Jerry. I'm writing another book.
You are?
I am.
Is it the worst?
It's the worst.
Isn't it the worst?
I'm supposed to say, isn't it? Well, you know what? Writing is rewriting. I actually love writing. I mean, I can get lost staring at the computer for 12 hours. But yes, it is hell.
It really is. Cause, oh, God. I hated writing my book. I really did. Oh, my Lord. I was just to keep a copy of the advance check in front of me just to keep me motivated. Anyway, good stuff. Look forward to your next book. When's it coming out?
Probably in the spring. Next spring.
Nice. Next spring. All right, good. Well, we'll definitely have you back before then.
I hope so.
Well, we can just put you on hold until your book's ready to drop, and then we can talk about it then. Either way, whatever you want, Anita.
Don't worry. I have plenty to talk about.
You always do. Good stuff. Check out our latest at epictimes.com, Millennials Abandoning Obama, Fickle Youth, or Something Deeper, and her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, all major book retailers. Thanks, Anita.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Have a great evening.
You too. Talk soon. Stick with us. Right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.